connection and spend the afternoon with him and pray together. The second miracle, of course, is God's protection over Pastor Frank. I think in the fullness of time, we'll see, even commented at one point, this is a miracle of God, that the way God intervened. And then lastly, I want to talk about the miracle of our partnership with Jonathan and Claudia Valdez. When we arrived, we spent time with Heather Hahn, Ray Perry, he's leading Envision, and several other IWs, and they kept referring to Jonathan and Claudia about what God was doing through this work in Obrera. And so the church is Camino de Vida, that's the name of the church. It means the way of life. And in our minds, it started to seem like Jonathan was like a David Wilkerson. Obrera is this part of the city. It's right in the heart of the city, but it's not a safe place. It would be sort of the Bronx of New York. We didn't go there this trip, but it's a dangerous part of the city. Jonathan and Claudia have four children. They're now entering their teen years. And the thought came to mind, you know, God is calling them very much like God called pastors to minister to the heart of a city. And so on Thursday, we met them. And as you saw in the photo, I was holding their newest baby. I texted Minda and said, can I bring the baby home? And she said, yes, but they wouldn't let me. They're just such a beautiful couple. If God could let them even visit us so you could get to know them. But the little we're doing to support them, you know, we're sort of like one of the foundation, the bricks or the pieces of cement in the foundation, and God's building this church. But Westgate has a part. Right now, he's still working. He's teaching guitar so that he can spend more time in full-time ministry. And I think the teaching guitar allows him more flexibility. Their rent is 11,000 pesos, which is $780 a month. We kind of challenged him a little bit and said, well, is there, you know, more affordable rent? And he said, well, actually, for the same place, we could be spending 30,000. And so to make this sustainable for their church, over and above their tithes and offerings, they're asking every member to pay 200 pesos to go toward rent. So they're creating a sustainable model for their church to pay their rent and to grow. And so that is the miracle that I saw, just the fact that we can be a part of this church. You know, who knows, maybe God will give you others in our church the opportunity to meet them and to see this firsthand. And I will now call upon Derek and, yep, Derek.
Hi, I am also bad at public speaking. So after we were in Mexico City, we flew south to Oaxaca, which is not spelled how you think it is. While we were there, we had a chance to meet with a pastor of a local Alliance church. His name is Pastor Porfilio Flores. And with the help of our translators, Bear and Colin, we were able to talk to him about himself and his church and the current problems many Christians face in Mexico. He told us about 13 people groups in various Mexican states, mostly outside of Mexico City itself. And each of these 13 groups have their own language, and they are all, or I'm pretty sure he said all of them, were very oppressive towards Christians. The way these groups operate is the land and buildings are owned by the entire group of people collectively. So when one person or family gives their lives to Christ and becomes Christians, they are kicked out of their communities under the threat of death and lose everything that they have. Pastor Porfilio is also a lawyer, and he helps fight for Christians who are fleeing these communities as best as he can. The following Sunday, we attended his church in Oaxaca City, and it was a very interesting and enlightening experience. I'll be honest, I found the church very uncomfortable. The building was very small, there was no airflow, and the sanctuary was very hot, and it wasn't even a hot morning by Oaxaca standards. Their audio-visual situation wasn't much better. As a video guy myself, I tend to take notice of that stuff. Their projector screen was a 32-inch TV, which you saw in the picture, in the video. To display lyrics, they had an iPad attached through an adapter to the TV, and for each song, they had to look up the song, find the correct link in Google, zoom in on the page so we can read it, and then scroll up and down as the song was sung. All of this was happening live, so often they wouldn't find the correct link until we were through the first verse and halfway into the chorus. Plus, it was in Spanish, so I didn't know what was going on. let's see. Where did I go? I got off. So we had to, at least me, there's a couple Spanish speakers in our group, but me and most of the group had to attend this church and try to worship God and listen to his sermon in a language that we have no idea what to say besides good morning. And that was a very, very difficult and involved a lot of Google Translate. So the one thing that stood out to me the most while attending that church that made it worth it, despite all of the difficulties and not understanding the language, was the people. I'm very emotional, I might cry here. So I apologize in advance. Nearly every single person in that church approached us at some point. And even though they knew, or at least probably had a good idea that we couldn't understand them, they all took the opportunity to say good morning and to make sure that we felt welcome. The Spanish-speaking members of our group, which was Colin, Corey, and Bear, were each able to have longer conversations with members of their church. Okay. Experiencing a Spanish church service really opened my eyes to how good I have it here. I can come to this church and understand the words to the music, and understand the sermon being preached. This is a luxury that we, I think, take for granted most or every Sunday. And this is something that many new Canadians have to go through when they come to Canada and don't have a full grasp of English yet. And I feel like I can now empathize with them in this way. The second thing I'd like to speak about is my experience with as this was my first mission trip. And Mexico City is a lot different than I expected. It is definitely not a vacation. takes a lot of work to go. When we went to meet with Ray Perry and to tour like the Catholic area of the city where like the big churches and old temples are and stuff, we walked probably half an hour to the bus station to take an hour and a half bus trip and then walk another 20 minutes. And I cannot imagine having to do that with kids. Like Bear and Vanessa have to. And even like getting around everywhere, not knowing the language, just how spread out and big everything is, and how many people there are. Like even at 11 or 12 at night, we'd be walking around and there would probably be at least 100 people on any given block. It was like so different than Saskatoon, or I think most of Canada. You just always have that, like, at least for me, I kind of felt like there's so many people here, how many of them could be unfriendly? but yeah, it was definitely a really cool to experience kind of what the IWs have to go through when they first come to Mexico and are getting used to the new living situations and everything. So yeah, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek, and everyone who's shared thus far, and Dell, who is yet on the slate. I want to speak about a couple of things, but first of all, mention that I made a new best buddy, and that was Malcolm White. And he's not here this morning, so I get the opportunity to share a little bit about what he was going to talk about. And that was, his son is married to a Mexican lady, and they have in-laws, Malcolm's son has in-laws, of course, in Mexico City. And Marguerite and Antonio were our personal chauffeurs. Antonio has a small bus that he uses to transport kids during the year. And on the week that we were there, they gave not only their facilitating our transportation for much of it, of the time. Not all of the time, of course, we did the metro and the bus and the walking and the scootering, as you saw, Ken. But we had Tonio and Marguerite give us some assistance that Sunday morning that we went to the Teotihuacan race at the pyramids, and they ate with us, they shared their lives with us, and that was a wonderful, wonderful experience. If you want to book a vacation to Mexico City, just call Gina. She can arrange things, and she can make sure that Tonio and Margo are, I'm just teasing. But I really appreciated the fact that we got to know Tonio and Margo through Gina and through Malcolm. Pray, Walk, Run. It's the name of our praying, walking, and running team here at Westgate Alliance Church. And it is by no means an exclusive team or a club. It is inclusive. Anyone who wants to pray, to walk with us, run with us, pray, walk with us, it's open to all. Though you might say, I have to have a jersey. You don't have to have a jersey to pray. But it's part of a team that has arisen up at Westgate and been part of a short-term missions trip. And there are other short-term missions trips. I'm seeing Janice here, and there have been other short-term mission trips that Westgate has participated in Africa, in the northern part of Canada, etc. But Pray, Walk, Run is a group here at the church family level, and it involves praying, walking, and running. Our motivation is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live for him, to glorify him, to honor him in all that we do, in all that we say, and in all that we are. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which is imprinted on the jersey, we read, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." The Lord has used these jerseys as an opportunity to share with others our relationship with Christ and our reason for running. It's been amazing how many times that we have been questioned about the meaning of pray, walk, run, whether at an event or going to an event at an airport or just there preparing for a run or at a restaurant in an airport. Or it's been amazing how many people have asked us, what's it all about? Pray, walk, run. Well, we run for Jesus Christ and his glory. In some way or another, we get the opportunity to share about Christ. And it's been a wonderful thing, wonderful experience. This last trip, I had opportunity to share on video. And I'll be honest, I felt somewhat nervous using my rusty Spanish to tell who we are, what we're doing in Mexico, and why we're wearing these funny jerseys. But it was very reassuring knowing that Lori and others here at Westgate were praying for us on this missions trip. And I particularly want to comment on a second interview that we had in Oaxaca, where a lovely young lady interviewed me and asked about Pray, Walk, Run. And I shared with her very deliberately, because that afternoon God had put Pray, Walk, Run on my heart and what I was going to say. And I already had thought it through, which was helpful. And it was a God moment. And I shared that we had a church at home praying for us, supporting us in our run. And also we had a church in Oaxaca with Pastor Porfirio Flores, representing the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and that we're part of that same church family. In sharing all of that, after the interview, the lady looked at me and said, "You know, I'm a Christian too." What a wonderful opportunity. Who would have thought that a simple jersey could say so much? Pray, walk, run. Dale?
Good morning. So I've got an overview of everything that I saw happening in Mexico City and Oaxaca, and some of it you've probably heard already, but I have never been on a missions trip before and had no idea what to expect. What a great group of people to go on a missions trip with. I enjoyed getting to know each and every one of you better. There were some rocky moments, such as leaving one of our members at home to start the beginning. Seeing God come through to get her with us the next day was amazing. Journeying with Frank through his pain and then leaving him in Mexico was a challenge for all of us. The big heart that Antonio and Margo had driving us to and from the airport and all the events that we had planned in the first few days. Them driving about an hour one way just to get to us and then backtracking to where we needed to go. And early in the mornings and late at nights, it is a blessing. Going to the Basilica, which is the Catholic cathedrals, and seeing the public display of the ritual of the priest blessing objects for the people to ward off spirits was a complete eye-opener for me. Like, I'd never seen that done before. Learning about the struggles of the missionaries. For example, Andreas and Heather, who have to come home to Saskatoon this fall and leave everything behind, having to give up their home and probably not get one as good as the place when they get back, and then trying to struggle with their mission that's down there when they do get back, because it's going to be in a different place and learn new things. Visiting with Victor and Betty in Santa Fe with all the upper-class Chinese, trying to make connections so that they can gain access to the other skyscraper common areas to find more people to associate with and talk about Christ. They were also in the process of learning another language during this process, because they got to speak the other Chinese language. Jonathan and Claudia with their functioning church, how Jonathan is working on the side to pay bills and with living in a terrible neighborhood and making a difference with a thriving church. Seeing the process of how Bear is trying to find people at peace to get to know and show them that Jesus is the way to get to heaven. This is a very tough in society that is truly does not believe that way can be shunned by their families and villages once making the decision to follow Christ. We heard this down in Oaxaca as well with Pastor Porfirio, as well as how they go back to the communities once they've accepted Christ, they can be felt with death. Missionaries' day-to-day struggles with their stakeholders, wondering if they are going to keep being funded to do God's work where they are in the world. As for stakeholders, it is important for churches to be able to continue to give to missionaries. As Rob Clark said a few weeks ago, it is estimated that 9,000 churches are going to close their doors within the next 10 years, so where is that going to leave their missionaries? I know everything that happened in Mexico opened my eyes up more to Christ. I encourage everyone to go on a mission trip to see the struggles and triumphs that our God is doing, working through His Holy Spirit in these people who traditionally do not hear about God. Thank you.